Well, welcome, everybody. I have a special guest today, Dr. Kelly Blodgett, who's a biologic dentist from Portland, Oregon, who I had the pleasure of having dinner with last night. He's in Austin. And welcome to the show, Dr. Blodgett.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to meet you and to be here. And yeah, having a good time in Austin, for sure.
Well, we certainly adhere to a lot of the principles that you follow. I do love the practice of biologic dentistry as it relates to a lot of my patients with breast implant illness.
Yeah.
We see a large number of patients who are on this journey to try to, you know, get things out of their body that are foreign or could be causing inflammation. So in your experience, kind of give us some highlights and tips and tricks for things that you're seeing that can just help us reduce our inflammation overall.
Yeah, great question. I would say that the most obvious that actually gets press is gum disease. You know, anybody with gum inflammation, if their, you know, gums bleed when they're flossing or brushing, clearly there's an inflammatory process going on there. And the whole dental industry would agree, like, that's a problem. I would say even the medical industry would say, you know, you got to resolve that. What's interesting and doesn't get any press is the risk that I observe with people who get root canals. So teeth that no longer have, like, we've surgically removed the blood supply to this tooth and it becomes a dead organ that's connected to living bone and gum tissue because of the porosity of the dentin surface of the tooth. It literally soaks microbes in like a dry sponge and becomes this chronic source of microbes getting into your body. And I would say it's probably over the last 10 years of observing people's health improvement once they get these dead teeth out of their mouth. It's like, it's just shocking. You know, I mean, I was trained to do root canals in dental school. So it kind of came as a big aha that, you know, these could be such a chronic source of toxicity for people.
And you send, because we send every single patient scar capsule off for PCR mm-hmm. testing. So for the audience, my audience knows this, but for anybody who's listening, polymerase chain reaction just looks at DNA fragments. And there are fragments of bacterial DNA, fungal DNA, mycobacterial DNA. And in our series that will be published soon, of 900 consecutive samples, we're much higher now, but the series looks at 900, it's about 30 to 34% have biofilm. So that's a, just like Dr. Blodgett mentioned, it's a colonization of microorganisms. And it could be bacterial colonization, it could be fungal colonization, it could be mycobacterial. So in your experience, Dr. Blodgett, you know, in terms of, I talk about biofilm a lot, which is just colony formation of these microbes, like you mentioned. What do you see form on these teeth that no longer have blood supply, like you mentioned?
Yeah, so I started sending those out about 7 years ago to a DNA lab in Colorado. And for the sake of clarity, we would expect for the top part of a tooth, you know, the enamel, things like that, that are exposed to the mouth to in fact, you know, be coated in microbes because, you know, we have biofilm from one end of the GI tract to the other. The root system, however, should not have, you know, microbes living within that system. So far, every root that I've sent, which is probably a little over 500 roots now, have all been loaded with either, you know, it's some mixture of bacteria, viruses, parasites, things of that nature, inside the roots. Not all, by the way, will have, like, some, when we look at x-rays in the dental world, and for anybody who's had a root canal, let's say, or somebody, the dentist has told them, oh, I think you need a root canal, there might be an abscess at the tip of the root. Well, the vast majority that I send in don't have abscesses. It's just a root that, quote unquote, looks normal on an x-ray. Yet the patient, it's interesting because one of the things I hear from the human beings that I'm helping is they say, I know something's wrong with this. They have this intuitive sense that something's wrong. But of course, our objective means of measurement, x-rays, especially when it's two-dimensional, limited to two-dimensional x-rays, we just can't see it. You know, you can't see microbes on an x-ray. So yeah, my experience is, so far, they're all loaded with microbes in a place where we shouldn't have that.
So this is even higher than what, you know, I see. And I've tried to, you know, be as careful about, you know, sampling them and sending them to this, like you're using one laboratory, and it's a research-based laboratory that does lots of PCR testing. So we feel like we're getting quality information back. But I get asked all the time, just like you do, can we know these things up front? And like, no, there's not a way to see a microscopic process on a macroscopic exam,
Yeah, absolutely.
whether it's a CT, MRI, X, like you said, regular X-ray. Of course, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So, this kind of goes back to limitations in both dental training and medical training about how we assess and assign symptoms to a disease and then try to create a treatment plan in these settings where, microbes form biofilm, which stimulates our immune system. In this case, probably cause a chronic, almost prodromal type phase of, maybe not be completely infected all the time in the bone. But I used to make or make, yeah, I would make a mandible out of a fibula. That was part of my career. Complicated. If you're, I remember I was getting my board examinations, and they pulled one of my mandible reconstructions for a jaw cancer. And that is a very complicated, as you mentioned, it's the beginning of the GI tract, lots of microbes. I mean, it's a host. And to get everything to heal with, hardware and
Right.
to get it watertight, sealed up, because they remove
Oh.
part of the tissue or the tongue or both and bone, and you're just like, it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I certainly feel the I'm surprised we didn't have more issues, but
Yeah, I know the body's a miracle,
yeah, well, that's amazing. So I feel like, and you mentioned a little bit of how the oral cavity, obviously, the beginning of the GI tract, and when you don't have a functioning or a good microbiome, how it leads to all sorts of other problems. So if you're not digesting your food, not eliminating your food, or having normal bowel movements, absorption is a huge, kind of, to me, it's a big black box. People ask me all the time things like, Dr. Whitfield, can I eat a bunch of collagen and my skin get better? I'm like, well, the short answer is no, because collagen is such a big molecule that you can't absorb it. So it has to be hydrolyzed into smaller peptides so that we can absorb things. But as you mentioned, we were discussing earlier, like people have to have normal, if you want to call it waste management, going on to be healthy. Maybe you could, talk about the oral health and how that affects your gut microbiome and then downstream.
Well, the mouth is such, it's such an interesting play. I'm so glad you brought that up. And it's not every day I get to talk to somebody who's familiar with reconstructing a mandible, let's say. Like, that is, oh my gosh, when I can think about trying to put that together versus a knee, let's say, like, there's so much. And of course, there's also like the social and functional side of just having teeth. You know, how does our smile look? How do our teeth function together? If you're missing them, how on earth are you going to chew your food? I mean, they're not just there for good looks, you know. It helps, of course, but you know, being able to combine your food with the enzymes that your saliva is naturally designed to give them, so you can, in fact, process them in the stomach. It all works together. You know, in terms of oral microbiome management, I mean, we could probably talk for hours on the things that I see that are a normal daily practice for folks these days, whether it's with the best of intentions, right? You know, like, well, I'm drinking kombucha now because I heard it's good for my gut and probiotics and stuff. And it's like they're sipping on low concentration of acid ongoingly for 6 to 8 hours a day, let's say. And then they're wondering why their teeth are melting. Or something else I see frequently is like multiple metals that have been put in somebody's mouth. It's, you know, it's creating this galvanic, you know, sitting in a salt bath of that we call saliva, you know, and wondering why these currents are shifting the ecology in the mouth and making some teeth more prone to breakdown than others, like from an electromagnetic standpoint. And we do this without any We just load people's mouths up with dissimilar metals without ever asking, one, what's the energetic shift going to cause? Two, might this person be sensitive to any of the components of the metals that we're putting in, or the alloys, I should say. So there's so much going on there that we just, as a profession, have closed a blind eye to.
Yeah, I get a lot of folks who obviously are trying to, as you've probably experienced, shift into a more natural, more holistic kind of state of well-being. So I have women who've had breast augmentation or breast reconstruction, no longer desire to have a breast implant. It's a big decision to make. And they just want to feel better and get healthier. And they'll do, as you know, when you have a lot of women are very sturdy and they will do all sorts of things to themselves to feel better, whether it's intense sauna, workouts, diets, supplements, fasting, like whatever. Whatever you can name, women are incredibly not averse to discomfort or whatever it takes to get stuff done. And I have to have, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I try to get people just to eat whole foods and avoid obviously anything ultra processed. And I want them not to acidify or alkalinize their fluid intake. So I try to be pretty specific about what I want in a prep phase, because I put people on really high protein diets and I give them digestive enzymes. Because if you ramp up their protein, you'll get a bad gut situation with fermentation if you don't help them digest it with more proteases. So, like, I don't really care what diet you have. That's not, I'm not the diet, monitor. I just want the protein to be higher and, cut out bad carbs and bad fats, and then you'll be on a more healthier, journey. And I'm sure that will help your oral health as well, as long as you're paying attention to, and I'm sure you can give us some tips about that. But I went to we were talking about, teeth cleaning before we went on, and I went and had mine, clean the other day. And I've always had a pretty high protein diet, and that causes buildup on my lower teeth, on the buckle surface. The hygienist is like, "You eat a lot of protein, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. And I always will, because I function better on a higher protein diet." So I try to get everybody doing this. Standard, for everybody listening, standard diet is 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight a day. So if you weigh 150, it's basically 70 grams. So when I ramp it up to 1.5 to 2 to 2.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight in a given day, so I'll have like smaller people on 150 grams of protein, and they're struggling. They're like, "I have to go, kill a deer or a chicken, or eat a whole thing of soy protein or whatever," which we don't want them to do. And we give them little hacks with amino acids and a smoothie with protein in it. There's lots of ways to do that, but maybe speak to like all the different adjustments and concoctions. You already mentioned kombucha, but people do lots of things to their fluid intake, which I'm sure causes problems for you.
Yeah, and when I think of the general population and what is socially driven, I guess it might say, like, there aren't like thousands of Starbucks for no reason. You know what I mean? Like I just think of, and interestingly, most of them aren't going in and asking for a bulletproof coffee. It's like, I want the, I
A lot of
actually,
sugar.
yeah, they want the Frappuccino with the, four pumps. And unfortunately, because not only are the substances risky for from an oral health standpoint, but we're putting them in vessels where you can easily sip on them with a lid, all like for hours.
Right.
And one of the greatest risks in oral health is the frequency of exposure. So, I mean, if I were to think of, let's say somebody had to have a can of Coke a day, they were just like, I got to have my can of Coke, and they said, what's the best way to drink this? Well, I would say, well, one, if you could have it with food, that's going to help, decrease risk due to the inherent sugars and acidity. But also, if you could get it into your, through past your mouth in the shortest amount of time, that's going to also decrease risk. Now, that's probably going to put a tax on your pancreas and your insulin levels. But again, like people today, like when you and I were kids, you'd get a can of Coke. If you opened it up, like you had to drink it. You couldn't take it to class. You couldn't put a lid on it. You know what I mean? And today it's like the availability of those substances on an ongoing basis has just, it's like at an all-time high. You know, the concept of, well, let's fluoridate the daylights out of everybody doesn't work. If it
Right.
did, we've been fluoridating communities for decades now, and
Doesn't change.
generally speaking, decay rates haven't decreased, you know?
No. And to your point, like, and we have to have discussions, and I'm pretty plain with people. If you want to work with us and put in the time and effort, just like it would be to go visit you in Portland, there's some certain just fundamental things you have to do. You have to cut out, for me, gluten and dairy, sugars that don't come from foods. So processed, ultra processed foods have to be eliminated, basically, if you're going to be part of the process that helps you get better. And sugar is a huge problem. It's incredibly addictive. If you've ever seen a little one have their first, ice cream or whatever, it's basically a huge dopamine rush, which is like crack to a kid. And I guess if you want to be really critical, how we were taught growing up is you have your, Cheerios or Fruit Loops and a big thing of orange juice, which is just packed with sugar. So you wonder why kids have, you have trouble getting them in the car, and the teacher's like, why won't the your kids won't calm down, but you've just loaded them up with a ton of fructose, which we don't really break down. And for everybody listening, obviously, glucose is the molecule we normally utilize, and our brains utilize it for energy. That's why, it's the most demanding organ is your brain in terms of energy and mitochondrial function. But if you eat trash and drink trash, your brain will behave like trash. So, we try to get people on the right track, from the jump. And certainly, people ask me a lot about their dental health and, should there be an order to this, and we can, talk about this. I deal with very, very large surface area devices. So breast implants is spherical, and if it's textured, it's like the topography of the Rockies. So the amount of contact your body has with it increases as you know. So if it's smooth, it's less contact. If it's textured, more contact, more stimulation to your immune system, more T cell activation. So you get these drivers of an immune response. And there are certain things in the literature that are coming out now that show that the biofilm, around these can be real drivers for immune stimulation. Which makes sense, obviously. So when people try to get me to pin me down, like what order to do things, the order to me is not as important as in the other things that we talk about changing. And then certainly, if someone's got really, really bad dental health, they have to get that taken care of. In fact, when we were in surgical training, any cardiac patient, any heart patient who is getting a valve or anything else, or kid getting, a stage of their procedure, you'd have to look in their mouth and you'd cancel them if they had active disease or, like you said, gum inflammation. I don't think everybody understands this, but probably I would say the heart surgeons were the first people I learned this from, because that just was in my training. I ended up working with them a lot initially, and they would say, all right, anytime Susie or Johnny has to go get his, dental stuff done, he has to have amoxicillin, suspension before that appointment. And if you don't, basically you're going to see their bloodstream with bacteria. It can coat their implant or in their heart, and you get endocarditis. Like, this is not rocket science. Like, we've known about this forever, but somehow we've got to, or we've lost our way in terms of thinking about this. But I talk to patients about, I'm like, so when I used to place implants for breast reconstruction, all our patients had a standing prescription, through the office for teeth cleaning, because that's how you get Provitella in your bloodstream. It's very common. I think we're on the same page with how those things can happen.
Absolutely. Well, I think you bring up such a good point because, if we look at the standards as dictated to us, the dental people by the American Heart Association, like absolutely 100%, we know that, things like heart valves, knee replacements, hip joints, things like you're at risk. Why? Because the same lymphatic drainage and blood supply, feeds those areas as does the mouth. How on earth can we expose people to microbial exposure with root canals and never consider that that is also presenting risk for people? So like, let's say I was, as a matter of fact, just this last week, connecting with a young woman. She's in Mexico currently with her mother. She at a cancer treatment center. The idea is, well, we're going down here to get treatment that's more, holistic in nature, to help her with her breast cancer. And I said, well, if you'd like me to look at her dental X-rays, feel free to send it to me. I'd be happy to give you my opinion. So, they send it to me, and she says, yeah, they want to get out her mercury fillings. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. And then I noticed, well, one of her teeth has, been treated with a root canal. And so I'm asking her, have they talked to you about taking that root canal out? Because it's a known source of infection. And she's like, yeah, they said it looks fine on the X-ray, so they're going to leave it. My experience is, and I've helped so many people now who have been given diagnoses of, let's say, cancer, which says to me like the body's system is out of kilter. It wasn't designed that way necessarily, but because of the things they've been exposed to, like that's likely triggered this event. I've seen so many people when we get the mouth cleaned up, miraculously, like their symptoms of cancer disappear. And I'm like, well, isn't your body designed to heal itself, provided we remove the sources of toxicity, which in the dental world is going to look like, root canals,
Right.
particularly like, and nowadays, speaking of implants, like in my world, titanium implants for teeth have been around for well, more than 50 years now. And they can be wonderful ways to replace teeth, of course. But if that person starts experiencing bone loss due to inflammation, what we call peri-implantitis, inflammation around implants, man, that is, a witch's brew. It's a hot, hot mess, and it's going to go systemic. And for anybody who's, got breast implants or, any joints that might be already prone to inflammation, like there's so much risk involved in that. But sadly, the dental profession just isn't really looking at it that closely.
Are you on a journey to healing and wellness, but feeling overwhelmed and unsure of where to turn? Look no further than Dr. Rob's Solutions. At Dr. Rob's Solutions, we understand the unique challenges that come with breast implant illness, which is why we offer a wide range of the highest grade supplements, medical grade skincare and lab testing, and HARP options to aid in your journey to recovery. Our supplements are specially formulated to support detoxification and aid in the healing process, while our medical grade skincare products are designed to nourish and protect the skin. We also offer a comprehensive lab testing to help identify any underlying health issues that may be contributing to your symptoms. And for those who are ready for explant surgery, we offer HARP options as well. Don't let the uncertainty and confusion of breast implant illness hold you back any longer. Trust the experts at Dr. Rob Solutions to provide you with the resources and support you need to take control of your health and wellness. Visit our website today to learn more and to order your products. Take the first step towards healing and wellness with Dr. Rob Solutions at drrobsolutions.myshopify.com.
Yeah, I think, and I'd always try to, and maybe you have similar conversations. I think I've had several discussions, with colleagues, and I try to be very plain about how I look at any chronic inflammatory process. And autoimmune diseases predate implants. So, whether it's dental or breast or a knee, autoimmune diseases have been around since, I think first reports are late 1800s, basically, is when you can really kind of see them. First breast implants, 1962 in Houston, Cronin and Giroux, placed it, the Dow Corning device. And I don't know the first titanium dental implant. But so the body has a chronic inflammatory process. We already know you can have it without implants. So if you place an implant in somebody who's already genetically predisposed to this, sprinkle in mold, lime, phthalates from your plastic water bottle or glyphosates from your, you know, herbicide, pesticide infested food that you're eating from the Dirty Dozen, and some, you know, heavy metals because the groundwater where you live, like where I live, has arsenic in it. It's not really a good situation for you.
Yeah, totally.
It's pretty complicated. So a lot of those patients to us will look the same, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and that's right. It's the same human host, you know, just expression is going to be individualized, of course. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about last night that I appreciated so much is like the art of listening as a healthcare provider / healer, you know, someone who listens. It's amazing to me what people are able to, like the lens through which I can see their health story. If I slow down to listen, you know, especially about their history and where they came from and what they're exposed to and, you know, what their food choices are like. I mean, I love asking the question, tell me about your diet as a kid. And and then what, you know, did it change at all when you went through high school or college or, you know, your early adult life? And just listening to that story, it's amazing the things that I can hear and see and about why their body may have made the shifts that it made health-wise. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, as we were talking about last night, is I would be in training. So I trained for 6 years as a general surgeon, 2 years of plastic surgery, and we would go have, we want to go see a ball game. We go to a sports place to watch games, and we get like, you know, wings and have a beer, like normal stuff. But I would get sick and get bloated. And, you know, I couldn't, you know, have, you know, much in the way of beer without feeling really bad. And people are like, oh, Kelly, you're soft. You can't have a beer. Da, 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 da. You know, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I remember as a plastic surgery resident, a friend of mine said, because I told him, I'm like, yeah, every time I have a beer, I just don't feel good. He's like, oh, well, you should, you know, just try a different drink, try a liquor or something. And it all went away. Because it was not gluten. So I'm a non-celiac gluten sensitive, you know, person. And this was inherited by my daughter. And when she was in 2017, we'd went to attend a Super Bowl party and brought our kids. It was a kid friendly party. And they had too many, like, whatever, beanie weenies or pigs in a blanket or whatever. And the next day, she didn't feel well. And I remember she ran up to me with this horrified look on her face. And started dry heaving. And of course, you know, I'm the guy who spent, you know, the better part of his career taking care of kids with cancer, women with cancer. So I immediately go to bad places in my head. I'm like, oh my God, she has some kind of pancreatic tumor. Immediately, like, all right, we're going to the, you know, the pediatric you know, ER and get a CAT scan because, you know, Rob has to know that there's nothing wrong that's going to my child. But ultimately, she has non-celiac gluten sensitivity. HLA typing shows that it's not celiac disease, and we know her genetics. And so for everybody listening, if you don't detox well, so your immune system has very specific ways to detox, and you have a lot of exposures, and you eat poorly, and you don't sleep, and you drink out of plastic bottles, and you use bad products that are, you know, not paraben free or things that are unsafe. I think the latest data said that women use products that contain 100 different chemicals that they apply to their skin daily.
Jeez.
So if you just think of that, that's a lot of things to expose a very sensitive endocrine system to, because women don't have the testosterone to buffer out some of the things caused that increase their cortisol or affect their estrogen. Or, I mean, it's just a complicated situation that's not getting any better. Honestly, it's just getting complicated.
Yeah, what you just described, I visualize my shower, Rob. I'm like, you know, I got a bar of soap. My wife's side is very, you know, a lot more products. And it's just, they're marketed to, right?
Right.
It's, yeah. Right. I mean.
But in terms of detoxification, for anybody listening, you can go to the Environmental Working Group website and put in the product you're using, because whether it's for you or your children, I've had people have lots of different exposures, and triclosan is an antibacterial that's in a lot of products, like wet wipes. But you absorb that stuff, and so do your kids. So if you have trouble eliminating it, it's like anything. Like, you just have to be aware, and you can control a lot of things. You can control what you put in your mouth, what you eat, and what you drink. You can start right there. Everybody says maybe they can't visit us, you in Portland, me in Austin, but there are certain steps you can take, you know, listening to us, that, you know, starting that way with a better diet, you know, for both your oral health, your gut health, which will affect your, you know, gut, you know, brain axis, all of that thing, all of that requires just making a change, a personal choice, you know, from the moment you decide that. You can change that, and you can cause, you know, a real health change just by doing those things.
Totally. Well, and I'm glad you brought up the environmental working group. I mean, I get asked a lot, like, well, what's the best, you know, what's the best dental toothpaste or whatever? And I'm like, you know, there's no best. My advice is download the Healthy Living app by the environmental working group. And just go to your, wherever you like to get your products, and click on the barcode and figure out, like, all right, well, how risky is this stuff? And do I want to make a change? Like, there's so many ways you can be empowered to make better decisions, you know, to decrease risk, which, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And something that I will give some airtime to, and air, no pun intended, is the quality of the air is going down, not up. So, like, you're visiting us from Portland, you're on the coast. I always get a lot of folks with a lot of mold exposures from the coast of our country. And in Texas, we have tons of trouble with mold and cedar and oak and just the air quality in general. When I first moved here, I was having tons of trouble. My wife loves to leave the doors open and let the outside ventilate with the inside, which is, for somebody with, you know, sensitivity to mold or cedar or oak, is difficult. So we use a lot of air filters. We use the Jasper, which I showed you this morning.
Yeah.
And it really helps me. Actually, I didn't tell you this, but I started taking it to where I operate. So I'll just take the Jasper with me when I go to the operating room, because you're going to be there and you're breathing in and out the whole time. And quality of air matters. I think, like, everybody's on board with filtered water, but somehow filtered air hasn't made it to the mainstream.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, it just cracks me up, because you think about, like, yeah, like, you might be able to go a few hours without some water, but, you know, you're gonna, God willing, you're going to be taking in air, you know, every few seconds. Probably the quality of that's going to matter for sure.
Well, just anybody who's, like, bent up in the mountains, whether you're just visiting for a hike or, like, it's a very different environment, you know, all things being equal. You're like, the air is very different up here. And when you come down into the city, or, you know, an urban area where there's a lot more cars or industry, or, you know, here in Austin, we have lots of preserved areas with lots of cedar and oak, and so people need to understand, Austin never gets or used to never get cold. It would all be very temperate, so there would never be a freeze and stop the pollen. But there's been a couple instances now where there have been, you know, times of the year where it froze in, like, January, February. But that's why when people come to Austin, they have a lot of difficulties. So somebody who moves here, a lot of people have come from California, obviously, and Oregon and Washington and Florida.
Yeah.
Pick state.
You bet.
But then they're like, I have allergies. Well, you have to think of it this way. If in fact you didn't use something to filter your water, you'd be drinking a lot more heavy metals in the water, and you could tell the difference in the water. So you should actually get astute enough to notice the difference in the air.
Yeah.
Because when air is clean, you can tell a difference. And that's what's affecting you when you move here. So, like, all of my clients, wherever they come from, I tell them, like, you got to increase the quality of your air. And we, you know, give them information regarding that. And it's probably one of the first times they've really thought about it critically, like, versus obviously thinks, you know, like all the media and marketing that's gone to water filtration, my goodness,
right,
is a ton.
Yeah, you know, I think it was kind of an interesting experience there through COVID for us anyway. Like we had invested in a bunch of IQ Air units back in 2017-18 and already had them in place. And, you know, they're just part of our, in a dental environment, right? Like the dental office, most dental practices will be one of the most toxic air exposures
right. You'll
find, you know, the aerosols. So it kind of makes sense, you know, like, well, if you just intentionally filter your air there, it's going to be so much better. So I remember I got called one day by the local ABC News affiliate, and they wanted to know, hey, you guys are going back to work. The state government has said you can get in there now. Like, how are you going to manage all this stuff? And I'm like, oh my gosh, come in and take a look at this, right? Like, if we're concerned about viruses, bacteria, all this stuff, and air filtration, like, check out what we've been using for a few years now. And they're like, oh my gosh, why wouldn't every dental office use this? This makes so much sense. And of course it does. Like every room in our clinic has this stuff in it. It's for which I'm grateful, as is my team, you know, because we're exposed to that stuff all the time.
Yeah, you're in the worst possible position as a dental care provider because of the oral cavity and the nasal cavity, right?
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
It was not, we talked about it a little bit. COVID was an awful kind of situation, but it led to a lot of changes, and some of them been, you know, very good changes. And thinking about air quality is definitely something that got, you know, top of mind.
Yeah.
During the pandemic for us, where we didn't have, you know, a strategy about that. And now, you know, I think I have 11 air filters in the office, some, you know, large number, room by room by room, you know, just like you said. And now I, you know, I'm such a kind of advocate for it. I carry an air filter with me, which is not, we're not talking a small air filter either. When you see it, it's several feet tall. And I hoist it up on my shoulder in the morning when I leave my office and go put it in my car and head to the surgery center and just unload it and bring it in. And I think, you know, for everybody listening, I don't like bad water. So I use an Echo water system wherever I go. So I've had one installed at the surgery center where we operate. And we don't drink bad coffee, like Keurig coffee. I don't do any of that. So we brought the same coffee maker. It's a Danish coffee maker, Mocha Master, from the same one we use at our office. We put one over there and we drink Bullet, and I just drink black coffee. The last thing really was just the air. So then I just, you know, basically you can do a lot of things to improve environmentally, you know, your situation, whether it's at home or at work. You know, you just got to actually decide to change and do something about it, because you can. It's not
right.
Doing what's right is not necessarily what's convenient most of the time.
Yeah. Well, and I think as it relates to kind of making, you're bringing up such a perfect point as it relates to dental issues, right? Because when I think of, you know, working with a nutritional therapist, let's say, and they're like, you know, we want you to try X, Y, and Z, and you can make modifications as you go. Most of what people are experiencing dentistry becomes a permanent fixture, you know, so that filling in your tooth, the crown, the veneer, the root canal, the implant, what have you. So I think it would behoove us as providers to think about, is the person for whom I'm putting this in and permanently installing it, is it something to which I can reasonably think that they would be sensitive, you know? And so for all the listeners out there, for anybody interested in understanding what products work for them and what don't, there's a test that we run for people called BioComp. Like, you do a blood draw. We, you know, send the blood through a process of centrifuging and sending it off to this lab. They will tell us, for all the products on the market currently, which products are least reactive, moderately reactive, or most reactive. And we just try to stick with, you know, those products for any person that are least reactive. Because there's
specific to dental?
Yes. Yeah, that test is specific to dental.
That's great.
What's cool is that it is, compared to 5 years ago, the size of the test has increased by like fivefold, meaning the amount of products that they're able to test has become so large. And as you might expect, like there are certain products on the market that are way better designed.
Sure. Of course.
You know? Yeah. And of course, most people tolerate them very well. But the interesting thing since I started using this is seeing like, there are, you know, that 1 to 2% of people who aren't going to do well with that product. And they might, you know, be more, they might be better suited to have a different one. So it's really helpful now as a biologically minded dentist to choose materials for people intentionally whenever I can. And it's like, it might only cost $400 to get the test run. It's not a major investment.
No, that's a huge value add to anybody listening. You know, I think, and I had this discussion with Dr. Plodgett last night. People ask me all the time. First of all, I don't place implants anymore, and I never was somebody who placed a lot of implants for a number of reasons, mostly because my career is hinged in performing oncologic reconstruction using microsurgery. It never allowed me the time or the space to have a very large volume of another type of practice, just given the number of hours I spent in the operating room during microsurgery. But I also had to have discussions with people about cancer reconstruction, and it's very hard. The youngest person I ever had that discussion with was 24. And to have a complex discussion about a device and or tissue reconstruction and its effects, both short-term, intermediate, and long, you know, when the industry defines long-term survival as 5 years, it's not an easy discussion to have with someone who's, you know, young, who just got this really difficult diagnosis, may or may not have good support from family or spouse or a significant other. And then, you know, just like you're trying to educate people to make informed decisions, this allows you to help them make a better informed decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's spot on.
All right. Well, if someone wants to get in touch with Dr. Blodgett or visit him in Portland, I'm going to let him tell you all how to do that.
Thank you. Yeah. So I own Blodgett Dental Care in Portland, Oregon. People can find us. My website is www.blodgettdentalcare.com. The best way to reach out to my team, if you're interested in us assessing, you know, what's going on for you and how we can help you optimize your oral health, just reach out to my team. There's a link in the upper right-hand corner that says, you know, like connect with us. You just send them a message. My new patient coordinators will be happy to start an email or phone conversation with you, and we'll help you figure out how to optimize your oral health so that the rest of your body can, you know, not be hindered by anything going on in your mouth.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I really have enjoyed this discussion. I think we have a lot of alignment. I look forward to having you on again in the future.
Thank you so much, Dr. Whitfield. Appreciate it.